Good evening. Brian, thank you for doing such a wonderful job leading us in our singing. I'm so very proud of Brian. He's a former student, and he has excelled his teacher in so many ways. And he is a wonderful father and husband and an excellent song leader. I'm so very proud of him and proud of Chad Scott, also a former student who has gone really far past his teacher. But I'm very proud of Chad. He's a wonderful father and husband and a great businessman, and I'm very proud of him. Adam, thank you as well for the warm welcome. You do such a great job making us feel at home here at North Jackson. And it's good to see each and every one of you here this evening. Our children have actually been told that e-cigarettes are safer and even healthier than other tobacco products. But really, do they have any idea what they're putting in their bodies? Let's talk about it. When Nathan was a sophomore in college, I was picking up some stuff in his room, helping him to pick up his room, and he needed a lot of help. I found stuffed behind some books, an e-cigarette, and a pod of vape. And I was stunned. And I've got to be honest with you, I freaked out. And I was scared. And I tried to tell him everything I knew about that product and about its dangers and about its addictive properties. I'm not sure I knew a whole lot then. I'm not sure how much more I know now. But I do know that I wasn't going to stand for him using that product. I don't know if my facts and figures got through to him, but really all I had to do was remind him of his grandmother, his Mimi, who died of lung cancer from smoking. Smoking when she was younger. She had quit for several years, but it caught up with her. And he loved his Mimi very, very much. You may have seen on Good Morning America recently a 17-year-old student in Texas by the name of Tristan. He woke up one morning and he had chills and he was vomiting and he was struggling to breathe. He was coughing and he couldn't get his next breath, and his parents were scared to death and they rushed him to the ER, and he would be in a coma for 10 days and on a ventilator, and they thought they were going to lose him. He would make it. He was a healthy 17-year-old otherwise, but his lungs were shutting down and they didn't really know why. And then Tristan, when he regained consciousness, told them why. He had been vaping since he was in the eighth grade. And his parents didn't know it, because it doesn't smell like cigarettes. It actually smells pretty good. And they did not know what he was doing. And Tristan nearly died. You may have also heard recently, as recent as last week, that there were two college-age students, a 20 and 23-year-old, living in an upscale neighborhood in Wisconsin, who were arrested not for cooking meth or distributing cocaine or fentanyl, but they had 98,000 empty cartridges ready to be filled with a THC-laced liquid that could be vaped. And THC is the main ingredient in marijuana. It was 10 times the normal dosage or strength. They were selling these to middle school and high school students on the fringes of their campuses, at the local Starbucks, at the mall, at the movie theater, wherever they could find them, wherever they could get them. These two young men were making a living at the expense of the health of these middle school and high school students. They're not the only ones. They're just the ones that got caught. There are many others, and there'll be many others that'll be arrested. But it seems like the stakes have been raised a little bit higher when it comes to e-cigarettes. They're so nondescript. In an age of technology, they just seem to be another toy. They look good, they look cool, they smell good, they seem to be harmless. I mean, what's the problem? And yet we're seeing too many of our kids becoming sick, and some of them are dying. This lesson tonight was not my idea. I've never preached or taught on vaping or smoking. I've alluded to that on occasions, but I've never spent an entire lesson on a subject like this. But I've got to tell you, our young people who are here tonight, there are a lot of people who love you and care very deeply about you. And these are people who work with college-age students, who work with high school students and middle school students every single day. They have children and in some cases grandchildren of their own, and they're worried about what's happening in the middle schools and high schools where their children attend, or in the colleges where their kids or grandkids are attending now. And so this is a cumulative effort of a lot of people who've had this on their minds. I really didn't have it on my radar, but I have been made aware of it, and many of them have helped supply the research for this lesson this evening. I want to say something else to our young people, and really to any age, but especially to this age group that seems to be flooded with the advertisement for e-cigarettes, and it seems like everyone around them is doing it. This church loves you very much. I can guarantee you that the elders, deacons, ministers, Bible school teachers, every member in this congregation loves you, cares about you. We're worried. We're scared. It's an epidemic. We don't know what to do. We don't always know what to say. We just know that we're afraid, and we don't want you to get wrapped up in it and let it destroy your life. I like what Jack Simon said after I preached on alcohol. He said, if you never take the first drink, you'll never have to worry about the last drink. He's preached a long time, faithfully preached the gospel for a long time. I'll remember that statement. I've applied that to e-cigarettes or smoking. If you never take that first puff or hit, you'll never have to worry about the last puff or the last hit. When my dad died at the age of 57, he was smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day. They were non-filtered cigarettes. I don't know if he was smoking to try to combat the alcohol or the alcohol to combat the cigarettes. I'm not sure. Just looked like to me he was trying to kill himself. 4 packs a day, non-filtered cigarettes. He would die of cirrhosis of the liver and lung cancer, and he died a horrible death. He did not start out smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day. He just started out like most kids his age at that time in his generation that really didn't understand all about the consequences of cigarette smoking, but he became addicted, and so much so that it ultimately killed him. The e-cigarette supposedly is not that addictive. It's just not that dangerous. But the truth is, it's a lie that men believe. And unfortunately, it is a lie that our young people are believing at too regular of a pace. I want to do 3 things this evening. I want us to think about some of the facts regarding e-cigarettes and the use of them in our country. 2, I want to look at a biblical perspective from the passage that Chad read for us just a moment ago. And then finally, I want to leave with some thoughts on what can we do as parents? What can we do as grandparents? What can we do as leaders in the Lord's church or members of the Lord's church to encourage our young people and help our young people and be there for our young people? And incidentally, this just isn't a problem for young people. I don't want to give that impression or leave with that impression. This is a problem that a lot of people have, and a lot of adults have it, and many are trying to use e-cigarettes to get off of cigarettes. And there's no proof that that actually works, but there is proof that most people who use e-cigarettes instead of cigarettes do so because e-cigarettes are more convenient. Plus, you don't have the smell, the tobacco smell in your hair, on your clothes, in your breath. The e-cigarette is more pleasant, and yet it's just as deadly and just as powerful. And yet the example that adults set before teens, even sometimes before their own children, can be devastating. First of all, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20, where the problem is sexual immorality, but the problem is the destruction of the body nonetheless, let me think with you, first of all, about some of the facts regarding e-cigarettes. I don't have my screen before me, so you're going to have to kind of follow along on the slides with me, and I'll be looking at my notes so that I don't lose my place. But e-cigarettes, if you can see that on the screen, are a $2.5 billion business in the United States. Now, that's why they're so popular. As of 2014, the e-cigarette industry spent $125 million a year to advertise their products and use many of the techniques that made traditional cigarettes such popular consumer products. And of course, their target age was 14 and above. 3.5 million middle school and high school students vape on a regular basis. In 2018, 1 in 5 high school students reported using e-cigarettes in the past month, and 68% of e-cigarette users of high school or in high school use flavors, again, because it masks what they're doing. Next slide. More than 6 of 10 youth believe that occasional use of e-cigarettes causes only little or some harm. Think about that statement just for a minute. A little or some harm. I don't want any harm to befall my children. I don't want any harm to befall my grandchildren. And yet this is the lie that men are willing to believe. E-cigarettes contain nicotine and are the most commonly used tobacco products among kids and quickly becoming the most often used tobacco products among adults. Juul is the most popular brand of e-cigarettes. Amazingly, it's shaped like a USB flash drive. So when it's being used, you can't tell that it's an e-cigarette. It looks like just another ordinary flash drive. But like other e-cigarettes, Juul is a battery-powered device that heats a nicotine-containing liquid to produce an aerosol that then is inhaled. Now think about that a minute. Think about that definition. I don't want my children inhaling aerosol products. Go to the next slide. All Juul e-cigarettes have a high level of nicotine. According to the manufacturer, a single Juul pod contains as much nicotine as a pack of 20 regular cigarettes. I mentioned Tristan just a moment ago in Texas, who nearly died because of vaping. At the time that he became sick, he was vaping 3 pods a week. 3 pods a week. That's 60 cigarettes a week at 17. No wonder he nearly died. And you might ask yourself, how in the world do you ever get to that point in your life? It's addictive. And addictions hit people in different ways. And this one nearly killed him. The United States Surgeon General reported e-cigarettes use is an epidemic, much like the opioid epidemic. From 2017 to 2018, there is a 78% increase among high school students and a 48% increase among middle school students in the use of e-cigarettes. Now let that set in just a minute. from 2017 to 2018, and you ask yourself why the proliferation, it's addictive. It's an addiction. And they can't quit. And they don't want to quit. And it's convenient. And it is unlike cigarettes in that you can't tell what someone's doing because it doesn't smell like you're smoking. It smells like an aerosol or some kind of room sanitizer. I don't know. And it smells good. I don't know what that stuff is that you plug into the plug-ins in your house and that good-smelling stuff comes out. I don't know what you call those. They make me sick. But e-cigarettes are so different. And it's so easy to get away with them. And they do this at school. They do this at home. They do this with their friends. They do this in the mall, wherever they want to do it. And people don't understand or realize what they're doing. And my question is, do our kids realize what's happening to them? The CDC reports over 450 cases of lung illnesses and seizures across America in 16 states. And there have been numerous deaths. Teens are four times more likely to smoke cigarettes if they vape, even casually. Why? Because cigarettes are more potent. It gets into your blood system faster. It gives you the high, the buzz, the feeling that you need or have to have faster. But that's scary. And then in 2016, the United States Surgeon General reported not only that e-cigarettes use is epidemic, but he also concluded that secondhand emissions contain nicotine, ultra-fine particles, flavorings such as dialkali, a chemical linked to a serious lung disease, volatile organic compounds such as benzene, which is found in car exhaust, and heavy metals such as nickel, tin, and lead. And that's just secondhand vaping, or smoke from vaping. It's kind of like secondhand cigarette smoke that we've learned is so destructive to lungs, the human lungs. But these particles or that aerosol that gets into the lungs of people, it adheres to the walls or the linings of their lungs and clogs them up. And you have an inability to turn oxygen into carbon dioxide and literally you smother to death. And Tristan, who nearly died, is now an outspoken advocate against e-cigarettes. And I have discovered that most people who smoke do not want their children to smoke. And even adults who use e-cigarettes do not want their children using e-cigarettes. And people who smoke or have smoked do not want their children or their grandchildren to smoke. Why? It will kill you. It will cut your life in half. It will ruin your life. And may cost you your soul. Scariest of all, to me, there is not even enough data or research available to understand the long-term effects of e-cigarette use. We have decades and decades and decades of research from cigarette smoking. We know what they can do. We don't know what e-cigarettes can ultimately do. We're getting a little taste of it. But we really don't know the long-term effects of it because we don't have the research available to us. And President Trump, this last Wednesday on 9/11, is going to ban, at least he has claimed he will do this, all flavored e-cigarettes in the United States. Much of it coming from his wife, the First Lady, who is on a campaign to save our young people. I saw a commercial relative to bullet point number 14, I saw a commercial in preparing for this lesson. There are two chairs, and they're going to do an experiment. Scientists are trying to understand the depth of e-cigarettes and what the consequences ultimately could be. So you have two chairs, and in one chair you have a girl who's never going to use e-cigarettes, and she's going to be one side of the study. But the other side of the study is the person who's going to use e-cigarettes and will use them for his life, the duration of his life, or whatever amount of time he has in his life. But that chair is empty because, you see, they're still looking for a volunteer. Well, you can't have my son, you can't have my daughter, you can't have my grandson, you can't have my granddaughter. Who would put his or her child in that chair making your child a human guinea pig. Who would do that? And yet that's what's happening in our country when our teens and young adults and even middle school age kids began to use e-cigarettes. I found this picture. I hope you can see it. I found this sign on the door of a convenience store outside of Atlanta, Georgia, warning. This is for the Juul e-cigarette. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. And yet, they will still use it. Let's take a quiz. You want to? Let's see how well you do. All right? True, false question. You ready? Let's go to the first one. More than 6 of 10 youth believe that occasional use of e-cigarettes causes only little or some harm. Now, I gave you a study guide, so you should know that. It's true. Number two, which of the following is a risk to youth and young adults who use nicotine? Depression, anxiety, and other mood disorders, nicotine addiction, difficulty paying attention and concentrating, reduced impulse control, all of the above. Which would you answer? All of the above. You're correct. Go to number three. Your brain continues to develop until about which age? 12, 18, 21, 25, or 30? Which one would you guess? 25. Who uses e-cigarettes the most? That age group. And so in those critical moments, in those critical years when the brain is developing, these e-cigarettes, just like tobacco, causes brain damage or destroys parts of the brain that will never be retrieved. It's irreparable. And the development of the brain is stunted because of cigarette use. And we're seeing the same kind of results with e-cigarettes. Which of these tobacco products is most commonly used by U.S. high school students? Cigarettes, e-cigarettes, little cigars, or joints? E-cigarettes. And finally, which of the following are reasons youth and young adults use e-cigarettes? Availability of e-cigarettes in candy, fruit, and alcohol flavors. Belief that e-cigarettes are safe, curiosity to be popular, all the above. You say all the above. That test was too easy, wasn't it? But nonetheless, your score is really scary because you're so right. And e-cigarettes are so wrong. So those are just a few of the facts, and I could have listed many, many more. But you get the idea and you get the point. Now, what does the Bible say? Obviously, there's no mention of smoking in the Bible that I know of. No implicit or explicit reference to smoking in the Bible or e-cigarettes. And yet there is this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that I think in principle at least addresses any addiction. It's sexual addiction in 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20, but other addictions, even alcohol or drug addiction, even opioid addiction, but certainly e-cigarette addiction. You start in verse 12 with the rationale. Look at what the Corinthians were saying. All things are lawful for me. In other words, it's not against the law. If you're of age, it's not against the law. So all things are lawful for me. Here's Paul's response. All things are not helpful. They say all things are lawful for me. Then Paul says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. In other words, their rationale is, well, that's what the body's for. I'm supposed to feel happy. I'm supposed to feel good. I'm supposed to feel energized. And they make me feel good. And they make me feel better. And they make me feel invincible. And I get a lot of work done. And I don't gain weight on them either. I actually keep my figure on them. And they age you 30, 40 50 years prematurely. But you see, it's my body, and I can do what I want to with my body. Paul reminds them, God will destroy both it and them, the cigarettes and you, if your body is used in that kind of manner, not for his purposes, but for your own selfish purposes. And then as you go down through the passage, you come to verse 19, where Paul makes four observations. Look at verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Brian could not have picked out better songs. The first song we sang, I am mine no more. That's a perfect hymn for this lesson. I am his, and therefore my job or my priority is to live for him and not for me. The Lord is in his holy temple, and I know we sing that song in the context of gathering together as a congregation, but notice what he says. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as we gather here tonight, the Lord is asking requests to come into your life. And he's asking to be a part of your life and my life, but is he welcome? Can he breathe okay? Does he struggle breathing? Will secondhand emissions injure him? Is he available, or have I barred him because of the lifestyle I've chosen to live? Number two, in verse 19, you have this body and this spirit from God. In other words, this is a blessing. We don't need to take advantage of it. The day will come when we'll no longer have it. And then number three, at the end of verse 19, you're not your own, for you're bought at a price. That price was the blood of Jesus. And so my body and my spirit are valuable to God, if not to me, to him, because he sent his son to die that I might live. And then finally, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. And I am not convinced that e-cigarettes glorify God in body or in spirit. How about you? Now, what do we do as parents? It's hard. And you may be dealing with this, or you may have dealt with this. As I said before, when my own son was doing it, I didn't know he was doing it. Kathy didn't know he was doing it. If I hadn't snooped around in his room and had he not been so sloppy, I may have never found it. But I did. I'm glad I did. Maybe God led me there. I don't know. But I was scared. So what do we do? May I make these five observations? Number one, set a good example by being tobacco free. In other words, we're not going to do this as Christians. This isn't going to be a part of our daily lives. We're not going to do this before our children, before our grandchildren, before our guests, before our friends or their children. We're going to be in total abstinence. We're going to be in a tobacco-free zone. Isn't that amazing? How everywhere you go now, it's a tobacco-free zone. If you realize that, I'm a little slow, so I'm coming around to it. But, you know, even in restaurants now, you can't even smoke. I'm glad. We went to Kathy's 40th year reunion, high school reunion, Friday night in Mayfield, Kentucky. And we were standing outside and people were smoking. I guess everybody smokes in Kentucky. I don't know. I nearly choked to death. I nearly choked to death outside, just around people who were smoking. I about died. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. It wasn't that I didn't want to see her friends. I didn't even know her friends that she went to high school with. Now, I was a little curious about her old boyfriends. They looked a lot older than I did, so I was okay with that. I nearly died from the cigarette smoke. And so, as parents, the example we set before our kids is so important. Number two, we need to talk to our children or teens about why e-cigarettes are harmful to them. It's not a pleasant or easy conversation, and they've got some good arguments, and they're like little lawyers, but we've got the Lord on our side, and we've got the truth on our side, and there are a lot of facts available that we can use and we can discuss. And it's never too late to start with our children. We need to inform and educate our children. I guess we need more sermons or more lessons, more Bible school lessons on these topics. We have the greatest kids in the world. I don't worry about them, and maybe I'm naive. But they're in an environment where it's all around them, and they have to be strong. We can make them stronger by encouraging them. We need to keep up with our kids. Even if that means every now and then going into their rooms and helping them pick up their rooms. If it means every now and then just asking them where they're going, who they're with, when will they be home, come give me a hug, I love you, do you love me? But staying involved in their lives, and even if it means being a nuisance, it's okay. They won't thank us then, but they'll thank us later. And then we need to let our children know that we want them to stay away from all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, because they are not safe for them. We love them, we want what's best for them, and this certainly isn't it. And sometimes you have to seek help. And there's a lot of help out there. And sometimes we have to get involved in those organizations so that we can be a part not only of helping others, but they can be a part of helping us. But the main thing is we never give up. In 1986, Lynn Bias, who played for the University of Maryland, was the first overall NBA draft pick of the Boston Celtics. And the Celtics were great then as they are now. Bias was a good kid, came from a good home, good parents, seemingly good friends. But Bias, just 2 days after being selected in the NBA draft as the number one overall pick, died from cardiac arrhythmia induced by his first and last use of cocaine. I know there's a big difference between cocaine and e-cigarettes. I don't know how big a leap it is in addiction, but I know there's a difference in the two. I'm not trying to compare apples with oranges. What do we do? Let's go to the last slide, please. But Lynn Bias didn't know that that little bit of cocaine would kill him because he did not know of his heart condition. He would not know of that had he not done what he did, but in doing it, it cost him his life. Now, I may try that e-cigarette. And I may not become addictive. Maybe I won't, maybe I will. Maybe it won't kill me, but maybe it will. Who is willing, really, to take that kind of chance with his or her life? We can't do this alone. We can't overcome our addictions, our sins, our habits, or our temptations alone. We need help, and we need the help of the Lord. And so if you're here this evening and you need him and you want to become a Christian and you know what to do to become a Christian, don't let anything stand in your way. If you're ready to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God before men, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, to be added to the Lord's church, what a glorious day that will be. And in so doing, you die to self, that old self, which means you die to your addictions too. The Lord raises you in newness of life and you have a second start, a new beginning. Or you may be here tonight as a Christian, but not a faithful Christian. And maybe you've fallen into that rut or that habit, and maybe you're trying to kick it and you've tried to do it alone. Listen, you can't. You need help. We're here to help you. That's why we're here. That's why we're the family that we are. That if you reach out to us and ask, or need, or desire, and we can help you in any way, that's what we want to do. So if you're here tonight, and we can do anything, in any way, to help you, would you please come while together we stand and sing?